Come on in. Take a seat. Why don't you grab a pen and paper?
Sure.
Okay. And what I'm going to have you do is write a letter to your son that you're going to give to him when he turns 18. I want you to write a letter to your daughter.
Okay.
For when she turns 18.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, my son's only 4 years old, so this will be interesting.
Dear Olivia.
Dear Mason.
You won't read this letter for 6 years, and a lot could change between now and then.
Hopefully, you've learned by now that it's important to put on clothes before you go outside. Maybe you've learned that vegetables are your friends.
I sincerely hope that all of the dabbing has finally stopped.
And also that it's pronounced mac and cheese. Not monkey cheese, mac and cheese.
You dream of becoming a famous singer, so thank you in advance for all the free concert tickets.
Is this still your goal to be a professional YouTuber?
I know you were hoping to become a giraffe when you grew up, but hopefully you have some even better career options now.
It hasn't always been easy. I sat on a piece of gum you left on a chair yesterday and didn't find out until after work.
The dishes really do go in a dishwasher. It's not like a metaphor or something.
Remember when you cut your own hair and then you tried to fix it?
Basically, I didn't sleep for 3 years straight.
But I can tell you this. Despite all the struggles, all the tears, it was completely worth it. And I would do it again, 100 times over for you.
You are a gift and a blessing. You've changed my life.
You are beautiful and strong.
You have so much energy in life, and I can already see how incredibly smart and fearless you are.
More than anything, I want you to know that I love you.
I'm here for you, whatever you need.
You have made me so proud.
And I am excited to see how God uses your life.
You're ready to take on the world. With all my heart.
Love always. Dad.
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 Hello, and happy Father's Day, 2020. I hope the dads out there were inspired by that video that they just saw. I am Pastor Jerry, serving as the interim pastor at Carlisle Church of the Brethren, and I'm sharing the message for Sunday, June 21st, entitled, Know Your Enemy, Part 2, Our Weaknesses. This is the third message in a series of sermons on the unseen battle that we as believers are engaging in as we live our physical lives here on this planet. And today's message focuses on the weaknesses that you and I have. Those weaknesses that Satan has observed and has tracked, and he loves to attack, knowing that they are our weaknesses. So let me ask you, what are your weaknesses? I would believe that your parents, your spouse, your friends could probably easily point them out to you, even though you would not want to admit them. But for you to acknowledge them, I think that is an important first step in seeking help from the Holy Spirit. Since I don't think you're going to share with me any of your weaknesses, let me share a couple of mine with you. When it comes to snacking, I've got a weakness. I love my cheese and corn chips, even though I rarely have that snack because I know that once I begin, I just can't stop. I actually have a man who is related to me through marriage that works for Lay's Incorporated. He has his PhD in chemistry, and he's hired by Lay's just to invent, create tastes, flavors that people can't put down, that people can't stop eating, that they just want more and more of that particular snack because of its taste, because of the chemistry of its flavor. Well, you wonder why we're overweight. You wonder why we can't put down snacks. Well, there's one good reason. Lay's and my good friend and relative. One more thing, of course, that is a weakness of mine is music that I'm sure many of you can probably understand. Give me a great recording of a wonderful composition, or take me to a live performance with an artist that I thoroughly respect, and, well, I'm in heaven here on this earth. So where are the weaknesses in your particular life? Those attractions that lure you, that influence your decision-making, could they be rooted in thrills that you're looking for, in excitement? Could they be rooted in sports that you're in love with, and a team that you like to follow? Are they in food, a great meal? Are they in close, intimate relationships? Are they in watching certain kinds of movies or a good book that you just cannot put down? Well, last week we learned that Satan does track our weaknesses. He knows what they are, even if we are refusing to admit them. He still knows and has a great database. I've learned that my weaknesses almost always are one or more of the following possibilities. First of all, anything that excites my sense of smell. Secondly, anything that excites my sense of taste. Anything, as I just admitted, that excites my eardrums, like great music. Anything that excites my sense of touch. I'm not going to go into details there, but of course, anything that grabs my sense of sight. We men have been accused of our eyes being the gateway drug for our sins, for our failures, for our mistakes that we make in life. Just last week, my neighbor pulled up across the road from me with a brand new all-terrain vehicle being pulled on a trailer. I went over and took a good close look. Big mistake. I went over and took a good close look at it, and brand new and shiny and with huge wheels and great design. I just couldn't keep my eyes off of that thing. I caught myself almost coveting it. Thinking about that incident, it makes me think of what happened in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve in the Garden of Eden. Let me read verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. And then it goes on to describe, of course, what happened. You know, we all know what happened. Satan knew what he was doing. He combined two senses here, the sense of sight and the sense of taste. And then he threw in a snake oil promise of that she would not ever die, and that she would be as wise as God, which, of course, both were big fat lies. So have you noticed how many times your weaknesses begin with one of your senses? It really is one of Satan's favorite modality of tempting us. But whoa, Nelly, wait just a minute. Hold everything. Scripture reveals another source of our weaknesses, another source of temptation. And to find that, let's take a look at today's scripture. It comes from Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and this is what he says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, and just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Curious about that word, the flesh. I did some work on looking up that Greek word, and then the Greek word is sarkos, S-A-R-K-O-S. That's the way it's pronounced. The Greek word refers to our bodily flesh. It's the same form of the word flesh that Jesus uses when he is talking to Nicodemus and says that flesh comes from flesh and spirit from things of the spirit come from the spirit. Flesh that Jesus used was the same word, sarkos, the same Greek word. Keep that in mind, because there's one more scripture which we're going to study that also uses the same word. So anyway, here in Galatians, what we just read, there's a battle out there between desires of the flesh, weaknesses as described by Paul, desires of the flesh fighting against, battling against control that the Holy Spirit wants to have. Guess who's leading the charge when it comes to the desires of the flesh? Just watch a little TV or movies from Hollywood and you'll recognize it to be Satan. The flesh in this scripture context means desires of the heart that leads to sin. All of these are works of the flesh, as Paul calls them. They're hurtful, they're selfish, they're self-centered, they're mind-occupying behaviors that are opposite of the fruits of the Spirit, which were described as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing here in Galatians. But hey, Paul also wrote letters to the Corinthian church. And again, he talks about something related to the flesh. So let me read from his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, a couple verses. This is what he says. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. This is Paul talking. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Here we have Paul using the same Greek word, sarkos, referring to flesh. Paul himself here admits to struggling with at least one thorn of the flesh, one weakness of the flesh, which he personally had real problems, to the point that he admits pleading with the Lord three times to take it away from him. Very likely, now you understand this is just Pastor Jerry speaking here, very likely it was a fleshly weakness from that list that he gave in Galatians. Three times he asked God for forgiveness and asked God to remove it totally from his mind. God's response was always, my grace is always sufficient for you. My strength is always available when you are weak in your flesh. That, my brothers and sisters, is encouraging news. First of all, that Paul would reveal that he struggled with a humble, embarrassing, fleshly struggle, but also encouraging that even when struggling with this weakness, it kept him dependent on the Lord's strength and forgiveness all through his life. Remember last week we learned that the battle, as described in Ephesians, this battle with Satan is not a physical battle with the net result of broken bones and lost blood. The field of battle is not on my muscles. It's always on my human heart and on my mind. That's the real battlefield. So how do we stay prepared? How do we stay in shape for this battle? How do we have victory over Satan when we are so weak in the flesh? Well, keep this in mind, first of all, that every attack on us is really an attack on our Father God. Every two-legged wrestling takedown of us by Satan, every illegal body slam by that devil is a personal affront to our Lord. Looking at what Jesus used as a weapon of defense when he was tempted by Satan in that wilderness, it was scripture. It was verses from our scripture. He quoted scripture out loud to Satan in response to the temptations that Satan was throwing at him. Another powerful tool that we have when fighting Satan is our prayer life. Our prayer life is stronger than any 5G cell phone connection. And the combination of scripture, prayer, and relying on the Holy Spirit's strength is a winning combination. It will defeat Satan every single time. After all, remember, he who is in you will always be greater than he who is in the world. And that verse in 1 John 4:4 that I just quoted is worth memorizing to say out loud, along with a verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, which he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Paul actually begins that verse by saying, be confident in this promise. For our closing prayer, I would ask that you would sing along with this licensed music video that we have, the song Greater.